Yes.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. My heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
And He is with me everywhere,
and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly, all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, yes, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly, all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Yes, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He abides. He abides, oh hallelujah, He abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Take your Bible in hand. Take your Bible in hand. Praise the Lord. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. How much God loves your prayer time. Do you know, do you understand how much God loves your praying? Hallelujah. How much God loves your praying. See, praying can be put in simple terms. It's just conversation with God. It's just talking to God. But you know, praying has got to have some listening in it. Hallelujah. We don't just talk to God, we listen to God. And I want to hear everything He's got to say. I can't forget the evening, before Mother passed the next day, when she said to me in her physical state, so weak, I want to hear God talk again. I want to hear God talk again, talking about the Holy Ghost, talking through her up to God, and through me up to God. You know, prayer is our lifeline. Do you hear me? Prayer is our lifeline. The book of Hebrews 11, chapter 11, book of Hebrews chapter 11, one of the greatest texts in the Bible. I don't preach on it often, maybe often enough, but I love it when the Holy Ghost directs me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to use a kind of different subject today. It really spoke hard to me and strong to me. Faith. Faith. Listen now. Faith. Very important that you hear that with all your heart. The muscle of the Holy Ghost. Faith. The muscle of the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that, so I'm going to take my time here a minute. Faith, the muscle of the Holy Ghost. It's important to know that faith is not the muscle of Joe Chambers or Marlon Clark, but faith is the muscle of the Holy Ghost in Joe Chambers and in Marlon Clark. So that faith is a mighty, mighty muscle of the Holy Ghost. And we see that in the Bible, especially on the day or the day after the day of Pentecost, when Peter said very clearly, it's not us, it's not our faith, but it's the faith which is of Jesus Christ. It's not the faith of a man that moves a mountain, it's the faith of God in the man that moves the mountain. If you don't believe it, you just talk and say all kinds of things yourself in your own power, and you see what the results is. But you pray till God's Holy Ghost anointing comes upon you, until God unctionizes you, strengthens you, allows the Holy Ghost to become a mighty muscle in you, and then faith arises like a great torrent of rain and touches the world around us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about faith, the muscle of the Holy Ghost. Let's read together in the book of Hebrews 11, begin with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. In other words, the thing he makes comes from nothing. He don't need something to do something with. He does something with nothing. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the power of God is. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this witness, this testimony, that he had pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, that he is, without question now, a rewarder of them that diligently, say that word diligently, do you mind? Diligently seek him. I want to tell you, the muscle of the Holy Ghost will be manifest in the saint of God that diligently seeks the Lord. The muscle of the Holy Ghost will be manifest. Resulting from that muscle of faith will be healings, will be miracles of salvation. We have a dear lady here this morning who needs a miracle of healing. I'm praying for you, little lady. I'm believing God to heal you this morning. I'm believing God. I had a testimony on Tuesday that every time she's got a bad report from the doctor, that somebody from Paul Creek would show up to witness to her and to be a blessing to her. That thrilled me. That thrilled me. That's what we're here for. We're here to stir this whole community from one end of it to the other. And as far as we can reach, we want to touch the lives of a multitude, don't we? Is that our burden? How do we do it? We do it by prayer. Father, help me this morning. You've given me this message for me as well as for this precious congregation. And I'm believing that it will change somebody's life. That somebody in this congregation will so give themselves to the Holy Ghost that the muscle of faith can become a mighty power in their life. That they can do more than talk about miracles and think about the past, but they can be used of God for the present to bring great things to pass for God in His kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You may be seated. The Bible makes it very plain that the just shall live by faith. Now think about that. Don't just take those words. You know, we have memorized those words so long ago. We've heard them so many times. They are so real. And yet because of familiarity, because we know them so well, we've heard them so often, when we say the words, the just shall live by faith, it just becomes pretty oratory. Becomes pretty words. Sounds good. We know it's true, but do we know it's reality? The just shall live by faith. Now, if you understand the word live, that means totality. That means from morning to night, from clock to clock, from 12 to 12. That just simply means your life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, I know what it is to live by faith. I've been working hard on it for many years, and I have not always been the most successful. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I've been a great example of it, but I know one thing I sure want to be. I can tell you that my little calamity 3 weeks ago on Monday when I crashed on that sidewalk left me staggering. It left me dealing with myself. It left me going through the effect of trusting and waiting and believing until healing came. Well, praise God, healing came this week. It became so sweet and so real, it just overwhelmed me. You know, when you really mess up your body and you mess up your head, you mess up anything, but boy, when you mess up your head, it can mess up your life. And so I was needing a miracle. And this week it came. I mean, it came. He so touched me Thursday morning that when I got home Friday evening and went to sleep, I slept 15 hours. Boy, you say you're a lazy thing. No, I was making up for a lot of lost time. Hallelujah. And when I got up, I felt 10 years younger. Now, I don't know whether you look at me and feel that way about me or not, but it really don't matter much. But I can tell you, God's a healer. But you got to live by faith. And you got to trust Him. Doctors, they do some good things. I'm not up here to run them down. I'm just here to build up Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just here to tell you what God can do and how great and wonderful God is. Now, the Bible calls us, now I want you to notice this. Never thought about it like this before. The Bible calls us believers. How many of you are a believer? Let me see your hand. That's a wonderful term. We're believers. Are we really? Do we really believe everything He says? Do we really live by believing? Do we really live by faith? That's what a believer is. A believer is someone who lives by faith. A believer is someone who actually believes that God means what he says and says what he means. It actually believes that when God said something, he'll do it. I mean, we actually believe that whatever God has spoken, God will perform it in the right fashion and in the right manner if we'll just trust him. And remember, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall, woo! I got to studying about the eagle this week, and I almost preached on it this morning, but the Lord redirected me. But I'm going to tell you something. When you think about mounting up with wings like an eagle, there's something wonderful in that. And you can be an eagle Christian. You can be an eagle Christian. You can mount up with wings like an eagle. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to deal with several things about living by faith. I want to deal with some things that if we don't be careful, we don't think about them. We don't think about them. Let's go, if we might, to verse 4 of this great text. Verse 4 of this great text. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now notice, by worshiping through faith, he gave testimony that he was righteous. People were watching the worship of this man, Abel, and they saw in his worship righteousness. They saw that he worshiped like a righteous man. He worshiped by faith. Notice that. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith. I want to preach a little bit this morning, worshiping by faith. Worshiping by faith. Now, there's a distinction here that I want to start with, and that is you either worship by faith or you worship by feelings. I think that's the only two ways you can worship. Maybe you could come up with another, and if you do, tell me. I may need to incorporate it. But we worship either by faith or we worship by feelings. Well, I want to tell you something. I love to worship when I feel it. I love to worship when the joy of the Lord is running up and down the avenues of my soul. I love to worship when there's so much excitement that I can hardly contain myself. I love to worship when I just plain get beside myself. But most worship don't start that way. Most worship doesn't begin in that fashion. Most real worship begins with a man or a woman who believes in God, who trusts God, who knows the faithfulness of God, who just began to love him and praise him. Hallelujah. You start worshiping in your automobile, and before you know it, you'll be shouting. You start worshiping in your bed in the middle of the night, and before you know it, you wake up everybody in the house. Oh, you believe this? I know this. I've done it. You began to worship. You began to love him. It was Friday. It was Friday night. I went into my chair in my library, wrapped a blanket around me. I'd been kind of chilled through the day, and I got warm there by 5 o'clock and didn't wake up till 8 in the chair, wrapped in a blanket. I didn't want to wake up too good, so I took off to my bedroom, did a couple of things, got in the bed, and began to quote Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I got down to that last verse where it said, goodness and mercy shall go with me all the days of my life, and I jumped straight out of the bed. I ran to the computer. I pulled up Facebook. And I wrote something like these words, probably a little bit off of this. I said, Brother Goodness and Brother Mercy showed up at my house tonight to be with me. And they said to me, go to sleep. And if you don't, We're going to send Sister Gloom over there to mess with you. And I said, so be it. I cut off and headed for the bed, and I don't remember getting to the bed. I don't remember getting to the bed. I slept 8 full hours to 4 o'clock the next morning, woke up, Lord, what has happened to me? You have healed me, Lord. I'm going back to sleep. And went back to sleep and slept 8. Now from 5 one evening to 8 the next morning is 15 hours. And when I finally got out of bed, you know, when I woke up, I didn't even want to get up. I didn't. I said, man, this is too good to leave. I'll just stay here a while. Then I remembered radio. I remembered responsibility. So I got up, and I felt healing all over my body, and I've been feeling it ever since. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, a good old sleeping mattress will give you healing like you can't get from any doctor in town. Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. 15 hours. Joe Chambers, yes, I did it. Never done it before. I hope I do it again real soon. Hallelujah. It just felt that good. Well, faith. Faith is how we worship. It all started with worshiping. Laying in that bed, going right back to sleep, was hardly awake. And I'm quoting the Psalms 23. And oh, I'm having a joyous time. And it gets down to goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I jump straight up. I got to tell the world about that. Brother Goodness and Brother Mercy, you wait till they visit you. And you know you've had a visit. Is that all right? Is that all right? How many believe God is just that good? Oh, I want to tell you, God wants us to learn to live by worship. And he wants our worship to be worship of faith. Worship because we believe him. Because we trust him. Because we know he never fails. He's everything we need. He's all we could ever want. Hallelujah! Do you worship him by faith? God wants us to learn to worship by faith. If you've got to have a good song to worship, that's okay. I don't mind it. I do it too. But make sure that's not your lifestyle. Okay, to have a good song to worship. I love to hear Brother and Sister Gann sing. I love to hear Sister Yvette sing. I like to hear Sister Stephanie sing. I like to sing and hear me sing myself. I know you don't care about my singing, but I love it. I'm even thinking about taking some voice lessons and see if I can learn to sing better. You know, I'm serious. You think I'm crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just an old man. But I want to tell you something, church. We got to learn to worship by faith. When you go to God's house, wherever you're at, you throw your hands up. Don't wait to feel a thing. Just tell God, God, I know you're up there. I know you're real. I know you're mine. I know your promises are real. I love your Bible. And just have church. Have church everywhere you go. Worship by faith. Worship by faith, Brother Marlon. Worship by faith, Sister Judy. Worship by faith, Sister Dixie. Worship by faith, Brother Dylan. You don't need to feel something to worship. You know somebody to worship. Now think about it. The difference between knowing who you worship and feeling who you worship. Both can be okay as long as the first part is top of the list. I know him. How many of you really know God? Now listen to me. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be overbearing on you. How many of you know God? How many of you know that you know that you know him? And you know him so much that you can look up and worship him and not feel a thing. You can look up and worship him and all you need is him. Hallelujah. You see, when we praise God, we praise him for our blessings. We praise him for our blessings. When we intercede for somebody, we're praying for somebody's hurting. But when we worship, we're dealing with God alone and how much we love him. How much do you love him? Do you love him enough you can worship him just simply by faith? Do you love him enough that if you came alone to church this morning and nobody else showed up, you could sit down here and worship God and have a great church time all by yourself? Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Why did he say in my name? Because that's the essence of the two and three who gathered together. And the reason the Holy Ghost shows up is because it was in His name. And if we will get ourselves to the place that every one of you would come into this church and you would worship by faith. Don't wait for the thing. Don't look for the thing. Don't worry if the pianist didn't make it. Don't worry if the singers missed the cue. Don't worry. Just worship God. Would you do it with me right now? By faith. If you really love Him, throw your hand up and tell Him how much you love Him. I love you, Father. I love you, Jehovah God. You're my everything. You're my all. I don't want anything else ruling my life but you, God. I want you to be in charge. And I want my worship to be faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Abel worshiped God. No, you said no, it was because he took an animal with blood. That was only obedience. That was only obedience. He came because he believed God. And his brother came because he had a passion for things. Oh, don't worship for things. I get tired of hearing these preachers preach, if you'll do this and do that, gotta do this and gotta do that. Listen to me. I'm gonna do this and that for God if he don't do it or if he does do it. That's the attitude of a true worshiper. They're not worshiping to get a blessing. They're worshiping to be a blessing. I've never been able to stand people talking about, come to church and get a blessing. Well, that's really okay. I get a lot of them at church, but that's not where I come. I want you right now to help me and let's decide. We will worship God by faith. We will come to God's house by faith. We will make faith the root and the passion of our coming to God. All right. Now, how many will remember that we are to worship by faith? That faith has got to be worshiped by faith, by trust, by confidence. Faith, worship has got to be built on my love for God, my faith in God, my devotion to God. Everything God is, I worship Him for that reason. Now let's go a little further. Listen now. Listen now. We literally are gripped by faith because we know that God is real. Let's read, if we might, verses 5 and 6. You got to hear this. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. Wouldn't it be something if throughout the church world we would develop such a faith in God? Such a faith like old Enoch had. Now, Enoch lived in an unusual time, folks. There was no written commandments. There was no written book. They didn't have anything to read for worship. Some say they worship because they could read the stars. I don't think that's impossible. I think there's a message in God's creation. And I think you might can see a lot of God in God's creation. But they had no Bible. They had no literal scripture. They had nobody that I know of that was a prophet. Except Adam. You know, Noah, I'll get to the right one in a minute. Noah, maybe there was other prophets. I don't really know. Only God knows that. But I want to tell you something. Enoch has such faith in God. He so believed in God that he's having time with God, having a relationship with God, having fellowship with God, and God just takes him home with him. Because the fellowship was so intimate and so real. Can you imagine having fellowship with God by faith? Enoch was by faith. The Bible said by faith. He didn't see him. I guess he did see him, though, because they went home together. Maybe he did see him. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The reason he saw him was first because of his faith. He was believing God so intently that God showed up and was drawn to him. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. I mean, so that really makes sense, doesn't it? That a man who believes God, has such faith in God, and turns his face so loose to God, and really has just this attitude toward God that's so real that God shows up and says, let's go home together. And Enoch was taken home with God. Oh, hallelujah. I've been thinking about that, Brother Joe, and I've been thinking I'd like for that to happen to me. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it. It wouldn't be because I were better than anybody else. I just want to have such faith. See, God doesn't honor you by how good you are as much as he expects holiness out of you. He honors you by your faith. It's your faith that really gets a hold of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. How much do you believe him? Now, don't you get mad at me. Not a one of you. I don't know how many people did their best to get me at a hospital and in front of an x-ray and with a bunch of old junk stuck in me when I fell 3 weeks ago. I mean, my family calls me. My children's calling me. You're telling me. I tell somebody what happened. Where did you go to the doctor at? I didn't go. Are you crazy? And they look at you like you're some eyeball. Did you know they'll do that? Did you know some of you have probably done that yourself? I mean, look at that crazy 80-some-year-old preacher laying there on the sidewalk, and he's knocked out of his senses, and he won't even go to the doctor. What's wrong with that crazy man? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with him. I've learned for 40 years that you can trust God, and that nothing ever happens, that God doesn't take care of you, that he's as faithful as the clock ticks. He's as real as this Bible is real, and you can trust him. I said, you can trust him. What I said, you can trust him. Hallelujah. You know, I called one man to pray for me because he's the only man I know that trusts God with his body. Well, I didn't call Marlon. I could have called him too. But I called a preacher. I didn't call those preachers that run to the doctor every time they sneeze. I mean, what's the use of calling a preacher that goes every time he sneezes to the doctor to pray for you because you fell and busted your head on the sidewalk? That'd been kind of stupid, wouldn't it? But I trusted God. I'm not bragging on me. I'm not bragging on me. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. There are some tough moments, but I got a message for you. I'm as healed this morning as I was before I fell. I know I'm healed. I know I'm in his hands, and my faith is stronger than it's ever been in my life. Hallelujah. You can trust God. It don't matter what tough place you go through. It don't matter how dark it gets some days. Throw your hands up and say, I'm trusting God. Come on now, who's got a big old burden that you're trying to deal with? Throw your hand up and say, I'm turning it over to God. I'm literally going to trust God. I'm literally going to depend on God. I'm not criticizing nobody because I trusted God. I'm just telling you, he helped me. The Holy Ghost was the muscle of my faith. Amen. Did you hear that? So depend on God to give you faith. Well, we must go on, because this whole chapter is full of one example after the other of men who learn to live by faith. It really is a beautiful chapter. Faith will take hold of the Father's hand and never turn loose. Holy Ghost faith, this faith I'm talking about, will take hold of the Father's hand and never turn loose. I love to read this, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Reach up and take a hold of God's hand by faith. And now you believe the Holy Ghost of God to be that muscle of faith in you, and you watch your faith grow. You see, I've often preached that faith is a muscle. You exercise a muscle to make it strong. A muscle doesn't get stronger if it just hangs by your side. Did you know that you could take your arm, tie it to your chest, and leave it there for maybe a year, and that arm will die? The muscles will dry up. And you can take that arm loose then and can't even use it. That's just how faith is. Faith gets bigger according to your use of it, according to how you allow yourself to live in it. Faith will grow, and faith will become dominant, and faith will become real. And I really credit the fact of my trust in God in this situation to the fact I've trusted him so many times, and I have failed. Could I tell you a failure of my faith? It was probably 25 years ago. For a short period of time, I quit trusting God with my body, and I developed a headache. It was a headache so intent, I took BCs, I took Andersons, I took anything I could get my hands on, and nothing would touch that headache. It was breathtaking. It was overwhelming. And I remember going to the Black Churches of God had a camp meeting over at the Tabernacle on Wilkerson. And you know how long that's been. And I went to the camp meeting one night. Loved those black brothers. They were some of the best. And the preacher preached that night on hand-to-hand combat with the devil. That was the name of his subject. Hand-to-hand combat with the devil. What a sermon. Right in the middle of that sermon, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, if you'll turn that headache over to me, I'll take care of it. I said, Lord, right now, I praise you for healing that headache. Nothing else will go in my system for it, God. I'm going to trust you. Did you know before I got home, that headache had disappeared and has never come back? In 30, 25, 30 years, that headache disappeared. It left me. It was gone. And you talk about remembering something. I remember that. A headache is a serious thing. I had a call yesterday from someone I saw it on Facebook. Someone I knew had a terrible headache. The terrible headache. I'm telling you, you can have a headache until it will make you think you're fixing to lose your mind. How many of you ever had a really bad headache? Let me see your hand. Is it not terrible? Is it not breathtaking? Well, the Lord just spoke to me and said that headache came from the devil. The devil has afflicted you, and if you'll turn it over to me, I'll make you well. And I mean, I was healed in the hour. I was healed in the hour. Never have I had a headache since. No, not 25, 30 years. Never. Never. Can you hear me? That's how big God is. That's how big God is. I said, that's how big God is. And he wants you. Oh, I don't want you to trust him because I say it. I want you to trust him because you know him. I want you to build your knowledge of him. Build your knowledge in him. Build your understanding of him. Build your confidence in his Bible. Build your confidence in everything God says and does. And your faith will grow equally with your growing. Amen. Oh, I want that kind of faith in me like I've never had it before. When I see somebody sick and God speaks to my heart, he's ready to heal them, I know he will do it. I've never seen him fail. I've never had him speak to me that what he said didn't happen exactly. Now, I've had some times when I thought he spoke to him and he didn't. It was me, my imagination. Oh, Brother Chambers, are you human? So human, sometimes I get so disgusted with me. How many of you feel the same way with yourself? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we're human. We have to deal with it. Sometimes we make bad decisions, but you keep on making right decisions, and they will grow, and you become more and more knowledgeable of the right decisions, and God will help you make the right decisions. Faith takes hold of the Father. I love that. Faith takes hold of the Father. Faith is fully able to move you into unknown realm. Fully able. We got to get this one. This is in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 8. I want you to hear this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, this is very important because this is the faith life that every one of us have got to have. You have got to learn to move in the realm of faith when you don't know where you're going. When you don't know what the results is going to be. When you don't know how it's going to end up. You got to learn to move in faith and obedience and confidence in God. This is what happened with Abraham. He was living over in Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was pagan to the core. They worshiped every kind of an animal. I have studied some of their archaeological discoveries that came from Ur of the Chaldees, and they are filled with paganism. They're filled with all kinds of rituals and ideas and things so far removed from the holy book of God until it's overwhelming. And that's where Abraham came from. But down there in the midst, did you know that Abraham, listen now, some of you know, you will have trouble with this, maybe, but listen carefully. Abraham never knew the name of God in his life. How many of you knew that? Abraham never knew the name of God. All he knew was there was a supreme person, a supreme power, and he trusted it, and he never knew his name. Moses, 400 and some years after Abraham, had to ask God what his name was. Moses said, God, if I'm going down there to meet old Pharaoh, and I'm going down there to deal with him for you, I'd like to tell him what your name is. Did you know that? Abraham never knew the name of God, but he trusted him explicitly. And he left Ur of the Chaldees and the rich life there. They had running water in Ur in that day. They had in-house bathrooms in that day. Some of the things you will learn about Ur of the Chaldees before Abraham, or when Abraham lived there, that's just quite boggling. And he moved out of there and went into a no man's land because God said go. God said go. Now, you start living your life in that kind of faith. You start trusting God. When God, you're going down the highway and God says, go to that house over yonder on the right with the front porch lights on. God, they'll think I'm crazy. No, they won't think you're crazy if you go in there in God's name and they know you've come. Let me tell you the story of a dear Assembly of God woman. She had a son that got involved in homosexuality. And he became a homosexual far removed from anything he had been raised. He moves to California. Mama finally gets him to come home so she could see him. And he says, Mom, I'll come if you won't say nothing to me about your God. I don't want to hear it. She says, son, I'll do my best. I'll try. So he came to visit. And the day he was leaving, she said, son, I've got to tell you about the Lord before you leave. And he said, Mama, I told you. If you ever say anything about God while I'm here, I'll never be back. I'm leaving. You'll never see me again. He left, got on a train, and headed for California. And she said to her son and daughter-in-law she lived with, I'm going in that room, and I'm going to shut that door. Don't you open that door. Don't you knock on it. Don't you do a thing till you hear me in there knocking on the door from the inside. And they said, we won't bother you. And she went in there to prayer and fasting. She went in there fasting and waiting on God. And she was there about 3 days. And all of a sudden God spoke and said, your son is saved. You can go eat now. Knock on the door and tell him that your son's okay. She knew nothing but what God had said. And she did as God spoke. And then she got a message before the day was over. Her son was in a preacher's home out there in a desert place on his way to California. He was riding down the track on the train, and God spoke to him. I got a hold of him so much. He said to the conductor, I got to get off of here. I got to get off of here. He got off out in nowhere and started walking down the road, and he looked and he saw a light on. He got a little closer and he saw a church, and he got up to the church, and he saw the light around the backside, and he went around, knocked on the door, and the preacher said, come on in. God told me you'd be here in a few minutes. He went in, and the preacher said, God had me waiting on you, young man. Let's help you. And he told the story, and he got saved, went home, a saved young man, because mama, in faith, got on her face and stayed there 3 days and 3 nights of fasting and waiting on God. And when God spoke, he had everything in order. How many of you believe when God speaks, he puts everything in order for you? Woo! Somebody's got a shout for me. You're just looking at me. Would you raise your hand and praise a God like this that you can actually trust? Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, I'm so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God. He's a God of faithfulness. I remember one time in Tabor City, the first little church, we didn't have any food left. It was all gone. Saturday morning, a man drove up in his car from Wilmington. It was, 50, 60 miles away. Said, the Lord woke me up this morning. Said, bring you a load of food. And he came in and filled our cupboard with food. And we was there. Terry was less than a year old. We're just waiting on God. It was about a year old. We're just waiting on God, and God met our need. You've got to learn to live by faith. You've got to learn what it's like when suddenly God comes through with something that seemed impossible 10 minutes ago. When God answers your prayer. See, that's faith. Faith trusts God under every circumstance. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, there's so many beautiful experiences of faith. You can read some of these great stalwarts of the faith. Those men and women would see God move in situations impossible in the flesh. And that's what God wants to do for you. Every one of you in this building, God wants to give you miracles in your future that you could not explain, that you could not understand, and that the only way that could have happened was God was in charge. How many of you are willing to start trusting God like this? How many would you like God to help you start trusting Him like this? I'm not going to tell you this is easy. I'm not going to tell you you get here just a simple way. I'm not going to tell you this just comes automatically. I'm going to tell you where it comes for me in that altar. When I stay there and I pray and I pray and I pray, all of a sudden God says, all right, now, you've talked to me, and I've got an answer. Oh, how many times have I had those wonderful answers? Oh, because I waited. Now, that's another one I want to deal with, and I'm trying not to preach too long here. But I want you to understand that God can take the sting out of death when you trust Him. Do you believe that? God can take the sting out of death. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13. I like this verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now here are people, ordinary people, who have been praying for something, and they came to the point of death. And they said, now God, you promised. It hasn't happened. Well, the Bible says those people confessed it, claimed it, rested in it, went on to God, and God still kept His promise for them and answered their prayer. If you pray something, you're praying for a child, you're praying for someone you love, you're praying for someone that's so important, and the more you pray, the meaner they get. Has anybody here ever prayed for somebody, and the more you prayed, the meaner they got? Have you ever done that? I mean, you pray, and they get meaner, they get more stubborn, they get more resistant, they get more down, I mean, they just get downright mean. They really do. Just keep on trusting. Just keep on praying. Just keep on believing. Just keep on holding on to God. You may be on the other side when an angel runs up to you and says, do you know what just happened? Your son just got saved. Oh, you say, angel, well, they shout about it. Sure, they're going to go tell daddy. I don't know. I'm just preaching. Hallelujah. First Chambers 3:10. Are you okay? I was worried about him. Listen, I want to tell you something, church. You can depend on God. You can depend on God. God is faithful. God is faithful. I said, God is faithful. Hallelujah. And even in death, you can rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know when I'm going home, but I'm going home shouting. I'm going to tell you that right now. I might be hurting, but I'll be shouting while I'm hurting. Hallelujah. I believe you can trust God in every circumstance of your life. Now these are people, you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews today, when you get home and over you see the hand of God. Over and over you see men and women who trusted God, who depended on God, who rested in God. They didn't do it because there was some blessing they wanted. They did that because they loved Him and trusted Him. And I want to close with just some simple thoughts. You don't worship God because you're looking for Him to do something extraordinary for you. You worship God because you love Him. You worship God because you love Him. When you have a need, you turn it over to God. Somebody the other day called me and said, I was sick and you didn't even come. I said, well, the Bible says that if you're sick, call for the elders. You didn't call. You know, the Bible is just right, isn't it? I mean, I believe the Bible is just right. If you're sick, call for the elders. Call you Marlon Clark. If you don't have his number, I'll give it to you. Call Brother Derek. If you don't have his number, I'll give it to you. Say 3:00 in the morning, just call Joe instead of me. I'm kidding now. Oh, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God a faithful God? How many trust Him? How many love Him? Would you stand together? Church, I've never enjoyed preaching more in my life. I just believe this Bible is absolute. Yeah. And brothers and sisters, I want to promise you, your family's on our hearts. And we're going to see results. I'm going to bring that whole stack tonight of all the people we've met. What about this high now? Whole stack. All around this neighborhood. All over these communities. And we're going to start. I'm going to get you, if you will, to start helping me really carry these people to God. See, if you pray for somebody and you believe God, my Bible promises that He will speak to that person for you. See, we don't get people saved because of how we preach. We get people saved because of how we pray. Now listen, did you hear that? We don't get people saved because of how we preach. We get people saved because of how we pray. It is prayer that brings the sinner to the need of God. The singers are coming. Would you lift your hand and pray for somebody? I want you to lift your hand and pray for somebody. They may not even be here. That's okay. They don't have to be here for you to pray for them. I want you to pray for somebody. Somebody on your heart. Somebody that could come tonight and get saved. Somebody could come Wednesday night and get saved. I want you to pray for somebody. Put your hand up and do some praying now. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you because I know without a doubt that the muscle of faith is the muscle of the Holy Ghost. The muscle of faith is the muscle of the Holy Ghost. And it is the Holy Ghost in us that produces that great faith that rises to see the supernatural of God. Make every person in this building hungry for that faith working in them by the Holy Ghost until they see miracle after miracle after miracle. It will come if you stay on your face enough for the Holy Ghost to take predominance over your life. The Holy Ghost has got to take predominance. The just has got to live in faith or there's nothing going to happen. Singing for us in Jesus' name.
Jesus, Jesus, how I
raise your hand, will you?
How I prove
Him o'er and o'er.
Him o'er and o'er.
Oh,
Jesus, precious Jesus.
Oh,
for grace
to trust.
To trust Him.
Now, as you need.
Wonderful.
I've been
wonderful.
Saved.